welcome to Audio Face, We on Irreverent, a podcast about the music news and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
And this is episode 172.
172!
Okay. We've got a lot of singles for y'all today. We've got four singles. I'll get into those into a little bit. We've got three albums that we're going to review. We have Dot Wav, love the name, by Flex Pavilion. We got Isles by Bicep. We got Home by Rye.
Real EDM and alternative indie hours here on Audio Face today.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It's going to be really good. Our singles are really interesting. We've got some nice usual news sprinkled around the show, yeah, as we're wont to do. But for the sake of pacing, actually, I'm going to do the plugs right now before we get into the singles.
Fine with me.
Then we can just go straight and turn straight to Audio Face.
Full gas,
of course,
baby.
Audio Face can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod. We can be found on YouTube at youtube.com/AudioFacePod. And if you want to subscribe or find any of the links to subscribe, that is audioface.show for all of those links.
Yes.
Power Report. Sister podcast, we just did an episode with Edward Anguezo Jr., a tech reporter from Motherboard, and we talked about really like one of the most trippy conversations I've had, honestly, about the role of technology and its relationship to labor and workers and the future without big tech having a control over our lives. Like, we actually thought about we actually thought about democratically run social networks and sites like that, like super wild concepts there. So definitely check that out, powerreport.world. for all of those links, or you can watch it at youtube.com/danfromtheinternet. I told you we're getting guests, and I told you it was going to be fun. Speaking of guests and fun, thank Dan, it's Friday. My Friday show, twitch.tv/sourcestream. I had Adrian Lawrence on as a guest, and if you aren't able to watch the live streams, so I've gotten a couple of questions of these, the replays should be available at twitch.tv/sourcestream for at least like a week or two. I'm not sure how Twitch does it, but it should be available at least a week after, like a DVR kind of thing. So you can definitely still check it out, but it's live 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, every Friday, where I'm just like recapping the week in news and also talking, you know, giving little teasers for what I'm thinking about for also Audio Face usually that week too, because I need a break from all that stuff. So yes, check out Audio Face, check out Power Report, check out Thank Dan, it's Friday, and let's get into the show, right? So the first one we got, which I also continue to encourage people to do, send us, email us singles and things, because we wouldn't have gotten this really cool song without it. It's How Can I by Paola Proctor. And it is a super interesting song. The music video that also goes along with it. And the lyrics definitely sort of give a sense of a breakup that is happening that is really emotional, where you're experiencing a number of different feelings at once. See why you're so damn selfish, acting like a reckless fool. She's the opposite of me. Maybe that's what you need. So why am I still hung up on you? Message around the video and kind of surrounding the song and a lot of similar work around it is about being open about mental health and addressing it and having conversations about it and not hiding it in a bubble.
Yeah. I really like the music video. It's pretty cool, where it's just two people literally sitting in front of each other for the entire music video and her going over the lyrics, one shot, just going into it and seeing all the emotions flat into you, like you're going over a breakup, is actually pretty cool.
I like the part near the end where they fade out, or like they fade in the actual audio from there, where you can actually hear the woman crying. Not that I like that part, but it's like, I think it's like a not a Dennis Reynolds I like that part, but like in a more of like a it really adds a lot of emotion and power to a song, and it already has a very powerful visual as well. So it's definitely a cool track, How Can I by Paola Proctor. Check that out, definitely. Meanwhile, on so we call this Cigarose Watch?
Cigarose Watch. We have Yonzi released a single called Mold. So going more into the glitch pop, hyper pop, whatever you call that, he had in his release last year, which I'm starting to dig into more. Uh, It's a little bit slower of a song compared to some of the works on his album that came out last year, but it's still a good track and diving more into that dark experience that Yeonji is now kind of transformed into. And this one's completely in Icelandic, which is really nice. I love it when he does it in Icelandic because you can kind of make your own like song into it, basically make your own lyrics into it, which I always like.
Yeah, and we are definitely going to be going into... before that, I will say, I did really like the song. I love that you are getting kind of into hyperpop a little bit more than Yeonji, and the artists are taking it in different directions.
Yeah. Because
that's kind of just the deal with hyperpop anyways. It's an extremely experimental genre that kind of uses pop icons and tones as a way to like kind of make fun of it or I'll parody it as well.
Yeah.
And it goes in a lot of wild directions. Some of which are a little bit harder on the ears, definitely.
Exactly.
But
then there's some where it's just going in a completely different direction, which I like. You know, I always say, try new shit.
Yeah, hyperpop getting kind of orchestral is a really nice thing. And it kind of goes along with the trajectory of electronic music getting orchestral as well. Mm-hmm. More on that later. But speaking of international songs, we're going to try to do more of those on Audio Face this year, as we've said. And we have a little bit of a curveball here. We have Lo Vas a Olvidar by Billie Eilish and Rosalía.
Billie's doing her Weekend Hawaii remix of doing it in Spanish, which is hilarious. When I heard her, I was like, all right, she's doing the Unable.
Oh, she's doing the young, God damn it, I forgot who did, was it Diplo or Dylan Francis? It was Dylan Francis
who did the album
in Spanish.
Yeah, and that was the funniest thing.
Yeah, there's always an interesting thing where it can either be really pandering and awkward or it can really go really well. Wow. And this went flawless.
It's great. Her Spanish was very good. Dame un beso y bájame de la cruz. No va a olvidar. Can you let it go? Can you let it go? No va a olvidar.
Yeah, so Rosalía and Billie Eilish are already very good musicians on their own. We've talked about Billie Eilish a lot on this podcast, Rosalía a little bit here and there, but their voices really mix well together.
They do.
They're singing these lyrics in like a little bit of English and a little bit of Spanish. Is a love song, happens, but like it's, you know, it's actually just like really beautiful and they pair well, very well together.
It's a cool track, so definitely check it out and see. I'm interested to see when she comes out with her album later on. This year.
It's also a really nice way for people to dig their way into just music in different languages. I think it's really beautiful that you can really enjoy music and really enjoy the instrumentation of it, even if you don't really speak the language, especially if you don't.
Yes.
And you also have to realize that a lot of people consume music in English that way around the world. So it's not that crazy to think of. And now something completely different. We have Ain't Got Time by Lil Wayne, which is featuring Fouché.
Fouché? Fouché. Just don't sit right there, think like I can't die from doing me. FBI arrest me. Why they can't help me, so they just screw me. I just try to hide. Sometimes it's hard to find time to be the good guy and still be someone. Enjoy my good time more than sometimes. And I just hope I don't get time because I ain't got time. I was high as fuck yesterday.
And a little bit of a story to this. We were talking a little bit on Audio Face last year, actually, about Lil Wayne facing potentially 10 years of federal jail time for possession of, I think, firearms.
Deadly weapon and some other things that he violated his terms of other stuff, basically.
Yeah.
Because when you're a convicted felon, you can't have a firearm.
Yeah. And it was looking really bad. He was definitely going to get that jail time, but jail time he was facing was serious. Yeah. And we've talked very historically on Audio Face about celebrities kind of getting a little bit of an out, and you've got an example of that here. More on that very, very closely later. But Donald Trump, on one of his last moves in office, ended up pardoning Lil Wayne.
Yep.
And since Lil Wayne's pending cases on the federal level,
so you know that's probably why Lil Wayne was butt buddies with Trump in the last little parts of like, hey, get him elected and all this, was probably get that pardon.
Actually, yeah. I mean, it's you're starting to see this a little bit there, where this goes back to what Ice Cube said about he's the one in power. And we're going to, like, not like him. We don't like everyone we work with, have to, like, meet with as, like, a client or negotiate or whatever. But if they have something we want and we have something they want, we try to negotiate and get whatever the best deal is. And yeah, Lil Wayne had that like goofy ass picture. But at least in the song in here, at least the first time I listened to it, I didn't catch anything that was like necessarily like, oh, shout out Trump, he's the homie, number one, like totally caping like Lil Pump did for sure.
Yeah, so it's not as bad as Lil Pump. Because Lil Pump,
Jesus. Award-winning
Lil Pump. Award-winning Lil Pump, exactly.
But yeah, the song itself is just sort of detailing the story, the sort of things mm-hmm. you're going through when the FBI is after you. Do I have a lot of sympathy for Lil Wayne?
Fuck no.
No to Blue Lives Matter Lil Wayne? Absolutely not. But it's there, and it definitely could have been worse.
It's
again,
right.
Like Lil Wayne's not that bad of an artist, and he has a pretty consistent like record. He's
gotten
a
five
lot,
was decent.
He's gotten, yeah, he's gotten a lot longer of a trajectory than a lot of artists I would have expected like his type did. He started really young, and even into his like more mature years, he's continued being a decent artist. But there's still nothing like flashy. He's got a lot of different contemporaries now, or not even contemporaries, people just like new generations
yeah.
that just have a better sound than him. Anywho's, we kind of talked about just now.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of want to just go straight into it. But in addition to Trump pardoning Lil Wayne in one of his like last acts of office, Trump issued federal pardon because Lil Wayne was facing federal weapons charges in December and faced up to 10 years in prison. Kodak Black was also arrested similarly for making a false statement trying to buy a firearm, and he had a sentence commuted. We also talked about Kodak Black earlier in the year because he was allegedly getting pretty mistreated in mm-hmm. prison and reporting a lot of different things. They're just like horrible levels of abuse that you don't want happening to anyone, even if they are in this prison system. There shouldn't even be an even. Because they're people too. But another person was, let me see, Michael O'Hare Harris, who's the Death Row Records co-founder
yeah.
who was serving his 25 to life sentence for conspiracy to commit first degree murder.
Yep.
Death Row Records, son. Again, like that's when music used to be real. Now it's just like marijuana sometimes and like shit like that. But it's kind of ridiculous here. It was reported earlier that Snoop Dogg was campaigning to have Harris pardoned by Trump. So there you have another case where we were talking about the Ice Cube theory of even if you don't like the person you're negotiating with, if you have something they want and they have something you want, then you can work with them. So the next story.
This is pretty funny.
I don't know a lot of Ariel Pink, do you?
Not really.
Okay.
His music, but
yeah, he's like sort of like a, like when I Googled, like 40s-ish, like maybe Beck age or so,
yes.
like alternative, like pop artist.
Yeah, I haven't listened to much of his stuff here and there and whatnot. But anyways, he went on Tucker Carlson's show to say that he is destitute and on the street because the guy went to the Trump rally in D.C. that, you know, ended up being an insurrection slash coup attempt.
Currently over like 200 people facing federal charges.
Mm-hmm.
And
killing five, six people.
My favorite, since we are talking about the pardons, and because I'd like to quickly move away from the last episode, which is a stressful experience for all involved. it's very interesting, and one of my favorite things is seeing all the people who are like the MAGA insurrectionists who are like crying, begging for Donald
Trump. Oh my God, that's my favorite. He's like, can you please pardon me? He's like, well,
I don't know.
Play stupid
realistic.
Games, win stupid prizes. Favorite phrase.
Get do the time, don't do the crime.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Ariel Pink.
Take some gosh darn personal responsibility in your lives.
Where are the fathers? So, John Mouse and Ariel Pink were among the people. Oh, that felt so good, man. Now I know why Bill O'Reilly does it. Give me a loofah. So I know why Ariel Pink and John Mouse are probably kind of upset right now at this point when they are now have a lot of egg on their face from siding with Donald Trump. And they went on Tucker Carlson's show.
Tucker Carlson,
how could I forget? And yeah, there was just so much of a mess here.
Basically, like after it was like videos and images surfaced of him being at the rally, that his label dropped him. A bunch of artists he worked with said, no, you suck and all this shit, basically, which, you know, fair play. It's a coup attempt slash treason. So,
yeah, perfect time to be disappointed dropping at your label, just like joining a rally.
And then basically he was just going on there to whine and bitch about it and saying people are so mean. Oh, my God. And
that's an actual quote. People are so mean.
Yes.
And it's basically like the same thing Tucker Carlson loves to advertise on his show, which mm-hmm. is, oh, no, it's the crazy cancel culture, which is out to get me. Wah, wah, wah. Super outplayed.
Mm-hmm.
But sucks for that. Sucks for him. Sucks to suck, as it's known in the biz. And it seems like the Trump whole thing, and hopefully this is the last time, one of the few last times I have to talk about Trump on this podcast. We've talked a little bit about the metal rock band Trapped and how one of their band members started doing a lot of MAGA-related Trump-supporting things on apps like Parler and Twitter before they got banned and all those other different things. And now the drummer has just decided, fuck it, I'm out. I can't do the singer's MAGA rants and all this different stuff.
It's crazy.
Can't do it. Let me see. There's a full post here. I'm going to see if I can read some bits. As I still communicate and have great relationships with the guys in the bands, I will only speak for myself. The stances taken and publicity received as a result are not representative of myself, not as an individual, nor fitting or aligned with my personal morals or beliefs. I do not agree with how certain things have been handled towards our fans in the music community, who I have such immense respect for. It's been one of the best periods of my life in the past couple years, but when it comes down to it, I do not agree with a lot of the things morally and publicly the band has received, mainly morally and the publicity the band has received, mainly the past year in 2020. It's time for me to move on and pursue other avenues and projects.
And last little thing on Trump.
Wait, sorry. Can I just say one last thing just to contextualize this? Some of the posts from the singer, Chris Taylor Brown, include, quote, Civil Rights Act was passed over 50 years ago. Move the fuck on. Claiming that Dan also said that Anthony Fauci was part of the deep state.
Big fucking K.
So, we have a podcast called Power Report. I'm for tired. I'm going to just box that there. If you want more of my opinions on that, go there. But good on the drummer for just like standing up and saying, hey, this is me. I don't want it.
Yep. And then last thing on Trump. Village people are happy that he's out of office. They're the ones who made YMCA. Because Trump finally cannot use their music in his rallies and stuff because they sent a cease and desist copyright strike basically saying don't use their shit, which we have talked about a lot on Audioface about artists not wanting to support certain political figures and having music into their campaigns or this or that. But Trump ignored them the entire time and kept playing YMCA and they were pissed. And of course, the last day of his last little going out rally, his little farewell tour of, oh, the coup didn't work. They used it, he used it, and they were like, okay, well, one last time, God damn it. And now it's out and they're very happy. But they want to change legislation stuff onto the cease and desist for artists. They want to try and have a little bit more power into it.
And I think this is something that might catch a little steam because there was that letter that was signed by hundreds of artists last year that were just like, Trump, notwithstanding, but also relevant, we are sick of politicians using our music without our permission, especially when we don't agree with those politicians and what they stand for, when they're standing for increasingly vile shit. So hopefully they get a little bit of action going there while they are at it.
Yep. All right, and now moving on to our first album review of the day, we have Dot Wav by Flux Pavilion. It is 16 songs, 1 hour and 2 minutes long.
And if I may,
yes,
having seen Flux Pavilion live
exactly.
A couple of times.
Have I seen Flux Pavilion live?
Yeah.
I might have at Hard's. Was he at Hard's Summer?
I don't think he was at Hard's Summer, but I definitely saw him at EDC at a separate time at a concert in San Francisco.
Yeah. He might have been around someplace I've been, but I went passing.
So. Yeah, because he's one of those folks that like kind of tours around the EDM scene a lot, which is important because we generally love to talk about a lot more electronic music on Audioface. And as with the many things we try to do every New Year's, we improve, we're going to try to do that more.
Yeah,
it just so happened this week there was a lot. But like one of the reasons that we traditionally did, in addition to the structural aspects of that, electronic music is very rarely in albums. It's a lot remix-based.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing
DJ
about
sets
it
and stuff,
is it's also like ear-melting garbage half the time.
It's been pretty brutal for a while.
Yeah. After it mainstreamed, after like the Avicii sort of period, no fault on him, of course, but after it mainstreamed at that point, it kind of just got very repetitive and generic and continuously
I call it a Dylan Francis Zanin.
Yeah, the hypey-typey aspect.
The hypey-typey bullshit, as I call it, for like 4 years.
Yeah, but it was like an extended period of EDM for 6 years where you go to any electronic festival and that's kind of all you got. And so my hope for all those things in our state of music conversation, which, wow, we're going to have to do that soon. My hope that in electronic music, some of the artists who I knew had a lot of the sauce kind of going into it, branched out and did more, I mean, not have to be like Daft Punk style orchestral works, but something to show the fact that, hey, electronic music is a really like bare bones, like constructional thing.
Look at Kolsch's album last year, how amazing that was.
I mean, you have Kolsch, you have Justice, you have a lot of electronic artists who've gotten this way. I would even say, going into indie a little bit, Dan Deacon's album from last year that was very electronically focused was like a beautiful piece. You even had like acts 1 through 4.
You can have part of like Sufjan Stevens' album and stuff too, and explored elements of EDM and stuff. And there's a lot of things that are starting to get branched out more. But these are two albums that we're going to review today. Obviously, this one, The Flux Pavilion, is like true, tied and true EDM, which we haven't done too much in a long time.
Yes, and it's EDM that pushes it further, at least with this album, that also gives me the same feeling that I get with classical music almost, where it just feels like these complete pieces. And not just because there's a part in the middle where there's like an announcer voice that goes, we now continue the program with Partial Fugue and B minor by Flux Pavilion.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was like cute and on the nose. But like, yeah, this is a really nice orchestral thing. With music that goes in together, still plays a little bit to the big festival.
Oh, there's definitely the hockey compilation YouTube video sounds of this album. There's definitely still stuff in there. But like, example.
You mean the Russian dash cam compilation?
The Russian dash cam compilation, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Eastern Europeans love their EDM.
There's still some of that stuff, which I can always do without, but it's not overly done or anything at all. There's a song on here that I like, the third track. 20 minutes, 25 seconds, 2025.
Yes.
Is fantastic with What's So Not and the Chain Gang in 1974. I really enjoy that track a lot. You don't have to fear no more. You don't have to fear it all. Probably my favorite on the album by far. Yeah. Where's the song where I had to stop and I was like, let me look at this song because I want to listen to this. And I listened to it a bunch after listening to the album in full. There was a song, Survive, with featuring Feed Me and Mish.
Mish, that's the song right before 2025.
Which Feed Me is an artist that I talked about on like one of the very first episodes of Audio Face because they've made a lot of different music and stuff on... Mousetrap Records, one of the many damn good artists on Mousetrap Records. And it's a song that I like. It's a little too hyphy for me a little bit, but it's getting me into it where it's not super cliche. I went to the sky high.
And what Trent's talking about is it's trance inspired, and I have nothing wrong with trance as a subgenre.
Yeah, EDM. You like trance.
And like, yeah, I do. In bits, not my favorite genre of EDM. It's nothing I'd like to listen to for long periods of time, like I could with like drum and bass or something. Drum and bass or Future House, for example. But I do like it in bits, and some of the complaints that one could have with it are that it is kind of overwhelming with the bliss points that it has in the middle. You get that because that's trance in here, but I think every time you have a really trancey song, you get into it a little bit later with Sink Your Teeth In featuring Drowsy and a couple of the other trancey songs, Cataclysma with You and I. It's very pared back in a way that's definitely like approachable for someone who isn't used to that thing or doesn't like trance
exactly.
as much.
Exactly.
It's not as like, it has to be said that's pared back compared to almost everything else in EDM.
Exactly. This is an approachable album. For someone who's a big critique of EDM, because, you know, I'm a house head. I like my UK garage stuff. You know, I like my little thing on repeat, 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
That's what I like. So it's hard for me to get into it a little bit more. But like, You and I is a great track, actually, for that of me getting into it where I'm like, I can have this on the background and not like immediately want to turn it off because, goddamn, it's just too much. To stay together. Because the way, like, the construction of the song and everything, it's your typical trance, it's your typical YouTube compilation video, but it's done back a little enough to where you can still kind of get into the construction of it, and it sounds a little bit better, basically. It's not overly done, which is which compared to the albums that we've reviewed in the past, especially 2 years, have been pretty brutal. So, yeah. It's a decent album. I actually like it, and I was surprised. I wanted to go into it because some of Flex Pavilion stuff I've liked before, and some of it on my head is a little off for me. I wanted to go into it just to rip it apart because I'm like kind of used to that now in Audioface. I was like, oh, I actually really enjoy it, especially the third track, 2025, is amazing. I like that one a lot.
I always like to see what electronic artists do on their own. A lot of electronic is based out of collaborating with artists, usually vocalists as well, to kind of bring your song, like, you know, something. Truly, yes. But I like to see what artists can do on their own. So you get an example with Twitter Bird, and it has nothing to do with my obsession with the website. But it's like a really nicely constructed thing that uses elements of almost everything you're pulling from in the album. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of the happy hardcore trance stuff, but kind of like the deeper bass thing in the background, kind of rubbing and scratching behind it to create a really blissful, floating, airy experience that goes with the full album. I mentioned a lot about making it feel almost like classical music, because when you sit down at a classical music concert, which is another thing I'd really love to go back to, I have a, funny enough, you may not know this about me, I have a membership for one of these, so we can actually go to some of them in Hollywood. Don't ask me about this. But
okay, super random.
Once they come back. But I like classical concerts and things like these performances and things like that. And so I like them because when you go into them, there's a beginning and the music flows and tells a story, even though there's not really a performance and there's no vocalist, but the music itself, the sounds tell a story. And not only does the album sound consistent throughout, even though it's traveling all these different kind of aspects of EDM, it's telling a story as you're kind of doing through the, you're telling a musical story as you're going through the whole thing. You don't have to follow along with it per se, but it's like, it's an experience that doesn't feel like you are stepping out of place in any transition to any of the songs, even though you're doing a lot of different things with the songs instrumentally.
Yeah, it's a good album. I enjoyed it a lot, actually. I'm surprised I did. So moving on to our arbitrary scale this week is places you'd rather be than the United States right now because, you know, COVID.
Yeah.
Looking at you, New Zealand. I'm jealous as fuck.
Yeah. Is that your pick?
No, this would be... this would be some random island off of the Philippines where, like, COVID never hit. Or, like, maybe one person got it and they, like, drowned swimming or something. So then the rest of the island inhabitants didn't get it.
Maybe, like, Guam?
Yes, let's have a solid Guam. Like, you could just have a random festival in Guam. Like, in the middle Pacific Ocean, there's, like, a random airbase there or something. So there maybe is, some people...
There are a lot of entertainers that go through Guam, actually.
I think I actually have some members who are in Guam. From Guam, so but anyways, good album. Good album.
Yeah, very good. I definitely recommend listening to it if you like electronic music. If you like Flux Pavilion, definitely a good step forward. A little bit different from the old stuff, but still very approachable.
Yeah,
and if you want to take a little experience and dive into something a little new, try it. See what happens. It's really nice to play in the background when you're working on something, or it's even a little bit relaxing in a strange way. But maybe that's also me because I like all this music.
Yeah,
maybe it's also just totally me.
So going on to some more news, Glastonbury 2021 has been canceled, which is interesting because there's a lot of American festivals and stuff that have a fall return date, basically. And this is kind of going on back, like last week's episode where I said like the 1975 canceled all of their stuff for a year, which I was honestly kind of surprised to hear. Yeah. But it sounds like a lot of the European artists and stuff are kind of going on of like not doing much, especially the English artists. I've noticed a lot of them are canceling basically their whole year again.
Yeah. As I say this all the time, Glastonbury, for those who don't know, is England's Coachella.
It's the biggest festival of the year, I still think. I think it's the best one of the year.
Yeah, I think it's the best constantly. Music festival on the earth, basically.
It still is. All the amount of acts and stuff, the headlines every year is just fantastic. You know, it's a thing you don't want to miss. But it's going to be canceled for the first time.
Second year in a row.
It's never happened. It's been canceled before, I believe.
Yeah.
But then it's never been canceled 2 years in a row, which is crazy. But it was supposed to take place in June. That's not going to happen. It always takes place in June. But a lot of the American festivals are still slated to go on into fall, which is interesting to see what's going to happen and stuff later on. We'll keep you updated on it. But it sucks because I wanted to see what they were going to do. I know like Bonnaroo and stuff is still set to go on in fall of 21 in Tennessee. And there's a bunch of other stuff still going on. I know Coachella, I think, have moved it to October, I believe, if I recall. Yeah, there we go, October. And some other festivals in the U.S. that are still going to take place. I know the Governor's Ball one in New York City is supposed to still be in September. So be interesting to see if any of these will get on. I kind of doubt it. But we'll see. Maybe one or two will happen or something. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, to continue the We Report You Decide aspect of this is that on the one hand... new incoming president Joe Biden announced that they're going to be utilizing FEMA.
The wind insurance.
Yeah, but they're going to utilize the federal emergency, whatever that thing stands for that screws over black people. They're going to utilize that actual tool of the government to have a bunch of vaccination centers around the country to kind of speed up the vaccination process. So I think it'll be, I mean, it's not stretch to say it's going to be better than it would have been under the previous president.
Even remotely a strain of a stance because they didn't have a plan.
I still think you're being very optimistic
you're
for sure.
Being extremely optimistic.
Just based on what a lot of my friends...
They shoot the little ones.
Yeah. just based off of what a lot of my friends in like the medical and like biological fields say about this virus and how long it's going to take. Probably like maybe like school will be back in the fall or something like that.
But I'm hoping, yeah.
I think big concerts, there still might be some like liability risk.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of is liability and the amount of people that will be able to attend. If anything, I think it'll be smaller things, smaller venues and stuff will be able to open up, at least in the U.S., around fall time. That's kind of like what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, me too. I'm just hoping for as soon as possible, safely. Next up.
Moving on, we got Isles by Bicep. It is 10 songs, 49 minutes long. It's an interesting album.
Yeah.
More of the EDM stuff going into it, but a very different style to Flux Pavilion. It's more of like the tried true of electronic music of going in, experimenting, doing a bunch of different sounds. More of your very repetitive style of electronic music where its song will be like have a little sound and will keep like kind of repeating it for a couple
4/4
minutes.
Beat kind of thing.
Yeah, which I enjoy a little bit more.
Bread and butter.
Being a house head.
Yeah. Bicep, this would be their sophomore album. They released one a couple years ago to like modest acclaim and success. It was a pretty solid banger. Didn't review it in 2017, but here we are, sophomore album, and this is also pretty good.
I enjoy it a lot. I really like, again, it's funny, the third song on the album, third track, is probably my favorite. I really like Apricots, where it's going in this really nice drum beat in the background. Everything's pretty understated, and you have a little voice in the background that's chopped up and redubbed and literally just looping back and forth and back and forth. It's kind of little beats around too and everything, but it's really chill electronic music and the production is fantastic. Very, very crisp and clean, which I enjoy. I think that was an issue I had with a lot of the electronic music we reviewed the past couple of years where it was like Fisher-Price beats, you know, the trap style of production where it just felt really cheap and not well thought out.
Like
for a lot of it.
Was using the same templates in Pro Tools.
Yeah, pretty much. And not having the construction enough to keep it to sound good, basically, where it's really choppy. There's a lot of things that are missing on it, and it just didn't sound that great. If you're a really good electronic music artist, you can make any beat basically sound great.
Yeah, and even on an audio face standpoint, it's not pushing the genre forward anyway. It's like the stuff we were listening to before.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just like all the rehash of the same stuff we had heard 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years earlier. So this is a great direction.
But Eyeholes, this is a very good album. I like it a lot. There's a couple songs with Clara LaSanne. You got Sakun X that are very good too. I really yeah. like the drum beats onto those. And that'll be more of almost like your garage mixes and stuff where it's a little bit quicker, but like understated and stuff yeah. into it. Love the voice on that. And
Saku is definitely quicker. X, mm-hmm. I think I like. It's a little bit slower. The yes. drums are a little more experimental in the background.
Yes, yes, yes. That really has the, nice, I was like, wondering 20. If the X is the one with the really weird drum. Where it's almost like you're like hitting a frog or something.
No,
like,
what it reminds me of is the part of a bass way above even the top.
Oh,
flat,
yeah, where you hit it. Yeah, exactly. Or if you have a Les Paul guitar, you can hit it on the ends over there too.
Yeah, it's just yeah. like a very stringy, sort of banging noise kind yeah. of in the background. It's
actually
really
what
cool.
Ed O'Brien plays on. There's a OK Computer track where he does that. I can't think of the name of it, but at the very beginning, it has a chime effect. Yeah. Not many people do that, but it's a little chime effect you can have where the string is literally maxed out. And you can tap it. It sounds like that, but for a drum, which is very interesting, and I like that. We're getting a lot of good drum beats this year.
I'm happy. I mean, like,
this is the year of drums.
2 weeks in.
2 weeks in.
Don't count our chickens, but like, this is a good week drum-wise. I'm really liking it. Let's get percussion fun right here, right? So, you're through the middle of the album. Litto, I really wanted to like, because in the beginning it's really cool, but near the end, I kind of realized that it's sort of like a middle transitionary track,
yes.
so it continues being airy and nice. I kept wanting to get a little bit more build up there. It's beautiful, but I just like want a bit more build up. But I do like it to that
because
extent.
the end of the album is so much faster than the top half too, where you have a couple tracks where you got X, you got River, Sundial, and Fur, and they're just like kind of that more quicker style of almost blending garage, trance, and a couple other genres together. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good album.
I do like that it's constructed, at least if they chose it that way, maybe I wouldn't agree with that choice, but the songs fit together. They go together.
Yeah.
They're organized together
do.
In a way that makes sense. And both the Flux Pavilion album we reviewed earlier and this make use of their 50-minute time. They're longer than some of the albums that we've reviewed more recently, but still well within like a reasonable
time. And it doesn't feel long at all.
Doesn't
it
feel long.
It really doesn't, uses which is good. Every second is used in good space.
I would say this Bicep album, even more than Flux Pavilion's album, makes use of every minute it has. Not only because it's 10 minutes shorter, but it literally just felt shorter than it was because of what you said. It made use of its time.
Exactly. It's a great album. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's making me very hopeful for to see a little bit better electronic music this year and to hopefully keeps up with the trend that we've seen now of just more people experimenting with it, even different artists and stuff. I want to see more electronic music artists using elements of hyperpop into the music as well, too,
ooh,
kind of the Yonzi, and more of a darker theme and trying to do stuff, not on the Sophie tangent because it's really hard to listen to, at least from my end. I now understand it, but I want to see that a little bit more in and see what people could do with that. Because I think it's a newer sound that still really hasn't been tapped into. But
100%.
This
arbitrary scale.
Arbitrary scale.
Again, these are places you would rather be in the United States right now.
Tasmania. This is Tasmania.
They're not like... Tasmania is one of those parts of the world where everything kills you. So that's
pretty
a really
much,
interesting
exactly.
choice. But COVID doesn't.
Yeah, but exactly. COVID doesn't. And it's either... that's a yeet or be yeeted place, basically. You got two options there.
No, like the Australia, which is already like a rough around the edges kind of place. Not like any offense to it, but like there's a lot of wild shit there that will kill you.
And then
you just... Tasmania.
You put that shit on crack, and then you got Tasmania.
There's literally an animal called the Tasmanian devil, which used to scare me as a child because it's just like...
That thing will fuck you up.
Yeah, it's like the Roadrunner character, but scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you would rather have that?
What?
You would rather have that? What's the benefit?
Like, the benefit? At least I don't have to deal with COVID. I got nice roads. They're decent country.
Nice
decent
roads.
Bars.
Paved roads.
I can go outside. I can have an outdoor festival. I can have a cafe outside and not worry about coughing the next day and dying.
Yeah, well, I will give this my New Zealand for sure.
Your New Zealand?
It's nice Wellington. Because
Tasmania is close proximity to New Zealand.
Yes.
Was the idea.
Yeah. But less things that kill you and more
less things that kill you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gorgeous mountains.
Beautiful. Anyways.
So more news.
Gary Numan, who we are on an electronic music kick right yes. now. So he is like one of the pioneers, maybe a strong word that I would use.
I wouldn't say pioneer, but
like yeah. early on into electronic
influencer
music.
Influencer of electronic music.
Sure, yeah. He's got an upcoming album coming out soon. Maybe we'll talk about it, maybe whatever. But apparently he told Sky News that he earned £37, $50. For a song that was streamed over a million times, which...
On what platform? Or just all over all of them? Or just one specific one?
I don't know if he specified whether it was a specific platform or not, but after 1 million streams, even if you're combining platforms or getting one, I've got two economic notes to say about that. One, pound's really taken a shitter lately.
Well, yeah, for sure.
And two, these artists need to get fucking paid. Yeah.
100%. That's atrocious of it. If someone gets a million YouTube play, like a million thing, watches, views, Jesus Christ, I can't English today, on YouTube, that's a lot more than $50.
Yeah, you're gonna get a little more than $50 there. And like, it's YouTube, you have a bunch of other hoops to jump through with like discoverability and the algorithm, stuff like that. Music's a little bit of a different kind of vibe there. But the point is like a million streams, that's a lot of attention that you're getting. Whatever the streaming metric it is, if it is, that's what you make it. But you should be giving those artists like at least $100. Mm-hmm. Let's get some more zeros there.
That's terrible. I mean, we've talked about Nauseam on Audioface about artists need to be paid, but now it's showing you like how shitty it is streaming.
Yeah.
Streaming is great for consumers, terrible for artists. It's really bad for artists.
And it goes like to what we're saying, how it affects up-and-coming artists. It affects artists who are maybe like a little bit better off, are writing their legacies a little bit better than they can, but still are facing the same issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. It's going to have long-lasting impacts. More news, or this is a little funny story. So some early Radiohead demos hit auction with 3 unreleased songs. So, they have a fuck ton of demos. Yeah. Also, it is hilarious with the picture of them in the late 80s where... Philip Selway has hair, and it makes me very uncomfortable seeing Phil Selway with hair, because I'm like, wait, he wasn't born bald?
Whoa.
I've literally ever seen him bald the entire existence of Radiohead.
I mean, like, seeing...
For 30 years.
Seeing young Tom York was like... knowing that that's the guy singing Creep just makes a lot of sense.
I mean, 100%, but now that's the dude singing, playing Adams for Peace, wearing a man's skirt with Flea on stage, dancing around, looking like Willie Nelson ass.
No, like, that kid meets MF Doom one day. Like, that's the thing I have to keep in mind.
Yeah.
But...
The three unreleased tracks are Promise Me, Body in a Box, and these are The Chains.
And this is from their, like, On a Friday pre-Radiohead
period, yeah, so this right? is from the 80s when they're still called On a Friday. I think this might even be before Johnny joined them, too.
This is, yeah.
Because Johnny joined, I think, right when they changed to Radiohead or the last parts of On a Friday. So this is uber early Radiohead, which is interesting. But they went on auction through Omega Auction. Omega Auction is the cassette tapes. It sold for about... a little over $2,000, or about $2,700 US.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to
see. 2,000 pounds, again, rip pounds.
Yes, extreme rip pounds.
Rip the sterling.
Remember when the sterling, you know, back in...
It was
back,
damn near double.
But you know, remember back in the good days of when the last time the Labour Party was head of England, it was in 97-07, it was Tony Blair, last time Labour Party?
Yeah, we got other issues with Tony Blair anyways.
Oh, yeah, other issues, but I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was like... $1 was £2 back in the day. It was a 1-2 exchange rate. And since then, woo!
Yeah. And now Boris Johnson's like, no, cheaper exchange rates is actually better. It means our goods are cheaper. It's great as a first world country that we are actually on par with. I'm not going to be racist here, but it's
what Boris sounds like in his ugly ass hair and teeth.
Yeah, we'll have a lot more room for Boris in the outer face.
I can't wait for that.
And Let's do it.
Last album review, we have Home by Rye. It is 13 songs, 47 minutes long. Rye is an indie artist. I've listened to a couple of their tracks a bit before in the past. Sounds similar to Neil Francis, if you know Neil Francis. I have recommended and popped a couple of his songs on Audioface before. Kind of about like really airy, high-pitched voice. But Neil Francis is a little bit more of like, more like dancey beats and stuff. Rise is just straight up more indie going into it. But it's a good album, top to bottom. I'm coming into some of the Morning Becomes Eclectic and SiriusXM, listening to my little indie channels to get into it. I listened to a couple of the tracks before when they released the singles in October and November, so I already listened to part of the album, and then going into it now top to bottom now makes a little bit more sense. Going into it, you have Intro, which is literally just a minute and a half intro piece of just a choir going. Next, the first real track is Coming Closer. And this was the song that really reminded me of Neil Francis when I listened to it. And I was like, holy shit, what is the, like, it sounds a lot like it. So I don't know if there's an affiliation. Maybe there is. I need to double check that. But anyways, it's a good little track where it's just combining elements of the chiller sides of indie and then more of like experimental stuff, but it has that airy voice, and that airy voice stays throughout the entire album basically, which is kind of my one gripe. I want a little bit more in that regard.
Yeah.
But the production of some of the tracks in here are very good, especially the beginning of the album. I like it a lot.
I even like the end, like the middle ends. End of the album a little bit more, but like what I do like about the album more fully is that, and I only appreciated more on like the second, third listen, is how cohesively it goes, even though the beginning and end do feel very different. Because like Coming Closer is very indicative of what a lot of the album sounds like, but there's still a lot of surprises.
Like the middle chunk, you got Black Rain, which is like skipping a forward is a good song, but we'll get to that.
More on that later. We leapfrogged a couple other things into. So let's continue. So after Coming Closer,
You got beautiful,
nice track. Safe Word, super groovy.
Safe Word is cool. I really love that song too. That was one of the tracks I didn't hear before, and I got into it. I was like, "Ooh, this is fun." We have that funkus back groove beat mixed in with indie and his voice. Fantastic.
The bass line does like this minor thing where I wouldn't expect it to be when a song is really a lot more upbeat than I would expect it to be. So it goes down, it feels really nice, has this really sort of interesting, playful, but also dark tone to it. I'm really impressed with it. Moving on from that.
Got Hold You Down?
Yes.
Hold You Down's a good little, like, still going, just kind of like a funky sides, but chilling it back a little bit, slowing it down a little bit more. And it's good. It still has...
it's a little quirky of a beat, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. After that, you got Need a Lover. Then really slows it down, which then to me, I felt like right here, Need a Lover, I was like, okay, I need to have a little bit of pick-me-ups after this track, because it really slowed it down with Hold You Down and Need a Lover, where after the previous ones, where the more funky side gets it down. Need a Lover is a good song. I thought
I think every album, like, I wouldn't have liked the album if it kept that same pace that it does the whole time, because then it gets stale. I do like that Hold You Down, Need a Lover kind of brings you down to this point.
Yeah, because then you got...
It's that acoustic thing right there. That is, it's airy. People who like that will have that. And it's a really passionate song. You can feel the passion there, even if you aren't too partial to the voice.
Helpless is kind of a similar route too, where it's still slowed down and stuff, and more of like you're slow dancing with your significant other, just like chilling in a fireplace, you know, That's a really cool song. It almost reminded me of some Junior Boys tracks of Big Black Coat, where it slows it down too, of that regard, of like that indie going beat, kind of just chilling around. So I really liked Helpless. And then after that, you get Black Rain, which is a stupid good indie track. And this is the one I heard a lot on my indie channels and stuff. And going into it, fantastic placement of the song. Right in the middle of the album, picks you up right after kind of the slowing it down. You know, this is the, you woke up after having a threesome, just like chilling, you know, on the beat, on the sidewalk, bragging to your friends, texting them like, hey, 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 and all this stuff.
I mean, jumping over that landmine, I think my favorite, jumping over both landmines, I think my favorite thing that also captures that vibe is Sweetest Revenge, because it gets a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. But what I do like about this part of the album is that it has like a continuously similar vibe to it, like a theme to it. All the songs are really bassy and nice, and they always have a little bit of hits at the end with nice extra production.
Yeah.
Sweetest Revenge, I especially love the string section that comes in near the end. The sweetest revenge is the love. I'm feeling all these faces from my past. Shit, that's just like, is gangster shit, honestly.
No, yeah.
I love to hear it. Some of my favorite aspects, and one of the reasons I love Demon Days so much, is that like when you are first starting Last Living Souls and you're first starting the album, you get to hear the song. It's like, okay, this alternative thing, it's mm-hmm. kind of cool. For Gorillaz, you're kind of surprised they made a song as like competent as that. Yeah. And then they drop the string section and you're like, whoa. And Street Sweetest Revenge gives me that kind of whole full experience in one song. So I do really enjoy that.
That's a good, great track. Then you start to get to the end of the album. You got My Heart Bleeds after that, which is still kind of like into the same mood of that, where it's slowed down right after the middle of the album. And that was just a pretty chill song track overall. And then the last couple of tracks, I do enjoy. It slows down a little bit too much, especially with Holy and Outro. To me, I wish there was a little bit more tracks that were at the end, more like Black Rain or Safe Word and stuff, a little bit at the end, because I think it was just too slow towards the end. But
yeah,
overall, very, very good album. I enjoyed it a lot. There's a lot of indie sounds in here that I haven't heard from indie artists before too often, I would say. But it's nice to get a little bit of experimentation and doing a bunch of different beats, and there's a lot of sounds in this.
Yeah. The album ends... Actually, I'll push back entirely. I like the way the album ends, because you get the really grooviness from Helpless, arguably a little bit, all the way down to My Heart Bleeds. Fire is a really nice way to, again, set it down, kind of in a way Hold You Down did mm-hmm. a little bit earlier. And then Holy and Outro kind of help wrap up the project as an album, because Outro and it does the same thing. Intro
does exactly the nice, choir like, thing.
Choir, good. Melodic beat, slightly different tone of choir to... slightly different notes being sung to emphasize the fact that you've just gone through a full album.
Yeah.
And it's been like a different experience, and hopefully you should feel a little bit different in some way ending to beginning. Otherwise, you have like no feeling whatsoever. But this is, like you said, a good project. I do like how it ends a little bit more than you do, I think. But I think this is really solid. And it's
this is my thing of indie is really the genre of pushing music forward. It's consistently the past year and a half, maybe about 2 years or so, has really been pushing a lot of different sounds forward and getting people into it, and it's very, very good. Love the state of indie.
Anytime we put an indie album in the rundown, because it like
it's almost always good.
Yeah, it's always good, and it's definitely like a surprise to me. Like,
yeah,
I never like there's some things where I'm like,
oh, there's definitely something still on.
Maybe you dread it a little bit, or like you don't want to listen to it. Or like I definitely like I look the three and I pick an order, and I pick that order for a reason.
Yeah.
But no, this was really solid and very good, and hopefully more indicative of more indie to come.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a lot of songs in depth. I'm gonna have to sample a lot of those. I don't mind it because I get to listen to these again.
Yeah, so exactly. It's gonna be fun. The last thing is the Flux and Bicep. We didn't sample too much because it's harder with EDM.
Yeah.
But going on to our arbitrary scale, this is definitely my New Zealand for sure. This is my you're mask free. You can race your bike where you want. You can go to concerts. Swimming pools are open. Cafes are open. There's some other stuff you can do. Fun times, and yeah, it's good.
This is Hawaii because I get to deal with less stuff involving my passport, and I can go there as an American, and I can chill there and be left alone and there's a beach. That's essentially what I want from LA, but we can't because you mouth-breathing idiots continue to walk around without
flood,
wearing masks.
We continue to flood the fucking beaches. Yeah.
Yeah. Quickets.
Quickets! As always, we'd like to end audio face on the fun notes.
And we have an important note from... What is his role now? I believe he's the head of the FDA.
Yeah, I think head of government sanctioned masks dealings, Joe Rogan. So that Grimes didn't give Dave Chappelle COVID-19.
So let me bring you into the story.
So bring you in.
Dave Chappelle got tested positive for COVID-19 on Thursday of this week because Dave Chappelle, Joe Rogan, and a bunch of others have been doing comedy shows in Texas because they... That's all you need to know.
Yes.
They've been doing comedy shows in Texas. That's why he moved to Texas. That was the reason. And so, yeah, he tested positive on Thursday. Grimes had talked about how earlier in the month she had tested positive and she's otherwise liking it other than the, she's liking like the Dayquil fever dream. I mean, honestly, that ticks Grimes down a couple points for me because real ones know NyQuil is where the shit's at. That's the extra strong shit.
And but, NyQuil makes you have the weirdest lucid dreams, at least on my part. Remember, I take NyQuil, I'm like, I wake up and I go, what in the fuck is
No, because that's the thing. You're not supposed to wake up during NyQuil.
Yeah.
You just ride the high. If you wake up during NyQuil, that's when you're going to get like the weird shit.
Yeah, this happens to me. I can't fucking sleep.
Rogan also told TMZ that he himself was not exposed to the person who had COVID, and I have tested negative every day this week. How he knows this is an interesting kind of point to have out there. But again, we have to point out that Joe Rogan, even though he hosts a podcast that is on our dear overlord Daniel X's favorite green platform, Spotify, he is not a doctor, even though he has doctors on his show. Sometimes they are not doctors.
But sometimes they're not doctors.
And generally, you should not take your medical advice from the guy who did Fear Factor, does commentating for MMA, and sparks up with malevolent CEOs instead of like killing them on the spot.
Yes, exactly.
You had his flamethrower in your studio. Joe Rogan knows like 100 ways to kill a man, and he didn't do it. That's how we know he's a Republican. Well, I was excited, and I would face in a fun note. And that's why we're going to do it with, I don't know if I want to do this, but if I were to give a best headline award for Audio Face, it would go to Shelby Stewart at Cron, who made the headline, Houstonians risk it all for C-list rappers at local nightclub, with a picture of Bow Wow giving it his all.
C-list rappers.
At the Welcome to Houston kickoff party on January 15th, 2021.
Yep. And they are hundreds of people, and I counted 3 masks. Hundreds of, packed like sardines in a crushed tin can, as Tom York likes to say.
Oh, man, I used to love that shit. Especially waking up in the mornings. But I'll throw in like a video here of while the club looked as Bow Wow was like getting it down.
Tear the club up.
And, here's the truth, my only statement. It was not a Bow Wow concert. I simply did one verse to like you. I went to my section and put my mask back on. We can't let these defenses happen in America. We're like, this is the Ariel Pink defense, right?
Yep.
We're like, I didn't want to go to the illegal event. I just happened to be stumbling around there because I was upset about my life otherwise. And it was there. Yeah. And I took pictures saying about how I wanted to storm the Capitol and take a shit on Nancy Pelosi's desk. But like,
we all do, but you got to do it legally, dude.
Yeah. By voting. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. By finding out her address in San Francisco and shitting outside there, because you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between shitting outside or any part of San Francisco, whether it's Nancy Pelosi's area or not, even though there's a fence, but you can definitely climb that fence because they've been able to climb Mark Zuckerberg's fence in San Francisco, so it shouldn't be that much of a problem. But it's really funny that I think that...
PSA, everybody.
yeah. Bow Wow and the mayor having this back and forth. Again, I think Bow Wow is just like,
It's just hilariously it's like so you risk your life, you risk spreading it to others, and Houston's already been, Texas has been hit pretty bad with COVID and stuff, and you go to Bow Wow of all people, to
like, I don't
all
know.
These shitty rappers of it, all things. If someone catches COVID and dies, and it was from that event,
wow,
that's a shitty way to die.
Yeah, and it's. This podcast will probably continue to be, probably for the next year, me lamenting about how I can't go to the shows I want to go to. We all understand that. We're all here for that and understand that. But, like, you, no one had to do this. No one had to go out and do this. This is just
horrendous.
But again,
and hilarious.
Again, hilarious because the headline was funny and Bow Wow super butthurt over it. noted C-list rapper Bow Wow.
No, too early for a little bit.
Like, Bow Wow's so bad. He didn't even do the Ice Cube gangster rapper to Family Movies. He did the reverse Family Movies to gangster rapper. I remember, like Mike.
How can we take you seriously when you are trying to be a gangster, but you were in kids' movies before? You got to do the reverse one. You got to kill people first and then be on kids' movies.
Yeah,
do it right.
I definitely am going to use one of the...
That one for Friday?
I'm definitely going to use one of the outro songs from the Like Mike movie where Bow Wow is rapping for the outro to Audio Face because I haven't done that in a while. But this has been Audio Face.
Yes.
You're hosting. Play us out.
I am. Thank you for listening to Audio Face. You can follow me at SW Suarez on all platforms. Follow Dan at Dan from the Web on Twitter and Dan from the Internet on Instagram. You can follow the podcast at Audio Face Pod on all platforms as well. You can go to youtube.audioface.show if you're a real one and like the old link, or youtube.com/audiofacepod.
Because youtube.com/audioface will lead you to...
Oh, some shit. Right?
No, no, it's I think it's, they are like an audio repair place in England. which is cute.
Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with some more good news and good music, we hope. And
it's really roulette. We don't know. It's the early part of January, so it's fun. Thank you very much for doing this music thing with us and this ride. We're definitely gonna have a lot of fun bonus episodes planned this year as well.
That's definitely
about that. So cheers.
Bye.